Hi, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Being joined right now by Zach Kiefer from The Athletic, who's done an unbelievable job.
Unbelievable. Right now, this podcast, The Athletic Football Show, with the Andrew Luck six-part series that we're going to talk about, it's ahead of Pardon My Take, the Bill Simmons podcast. It's the number one podcast, or it has been the number one podcast in all of sports. That is a huge accomplishment when you think of the Barstool Sports, Pardon My Take platform, how huge it is. What Zach has done, though, has been it's been a great job of storytelling and an ability to take you from start to finish on the Andrew Luck saga, which is one of the stranger ones. Do you recall, John?
Barry Sanders.
Barry Sanders is as close as I think he gets, but Andrew Luck still had a lot more to go in his career.
So did Barry, but right. And Zach Kiefer is joining us right now on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Zach, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. Now, a couple of things. First of all, Andrew Luck's our guy, right? Went to Stratford High School right here. We knew him growing up in this city, so that's our guy. He shocked us as much as he shocked you guys. It was much more shocking to Indianapolis because they lost their franchise quarterback and it set the franchise back as long as it did. But, okay, to not give away everything, but what shocked you? What shocked you the most while you were doing this, while you were researching this story?
Yeah, great question. I thought I knew the Andrew Luck story. Like, I really did. Like, I covered it as closely as anybody. And, I've written so many stories about the shoulder and his comeback and even the retirement, but I didn't, man. I was wrong. I didn't know about Stanford as much as I thought I did. Like, him at Stanford is such a unique, story, the way he came in. Like, they were recruiting over him. Like, they were trying to sign RG3 after they'd signed Luck. But, like, how does that play out? Like Luck wasn't this huge high school recruit, although his tape at high school was pretty insane. But, like, what happens if RG3 and Luck are in the same college quarterback room? Like, who transfers? And, like, where do they go? And how does that shake up the Heisman race in the NFL draft? And David Shaw is one of our best interviews because he really peels back the curtain on this kid before the pain starts, right? Like, back when football was just fun for Andrew Luck, and there's some stories I never heard. And then you get into Indy and how much fun it was early, and then Andrew dealing with some private frustrations that he never voiced publicly, ever. He would never criticize a teammate or anyone within the organization. But privately, yeah, of course he was a little ticked off that he didn't have a running back go for 100 yards in 5 years. Like, think about that. 60 games, they didn't have a guy go over 100 yards in the offensive line, and he's running for his life. And, you know, as this piles up, the kidney and the shoulder and the ribs and the concussions and the ankle, like, of course he was frustrated. So I thought I really knew this story, and when I dug into this, starting back in January, started interviewing all the people I talked to, there were layers to this story that I had no idea about.
Let's talk about Andrew Luck at Stanford. I'll read this. This is something that The Athletic put out there. Daniel Jeremiah was with you on the podcast, and DJ was a guy who scouted Andrew Luck when he was in college. And this was his quote from his scouting report. He eats and drinks football all day, every day. He ran a few of their install meetings during two-a-days. He instituted a penalty system for offsides during practices. He holds everyone on the team accountable. He's always at the facility. He's never asked for any special treatment. Each source has to be stopped when talking about this player because they go on and on and on and on and on. That's what he turned in at that time, I think, to the Baltimore Ravens or Eagles. I can't remember who
Eagles.
Eagles. That's what he turned into his GM that was his scouting report. What did you find? What did David Shaw tell you that you found most interesting about a player who was considered, you know, potentially a generational talent when he came out?
Yeah, how good was that DJ scouting report?
Pretty good.
Just reading off of his notes from 10 years ago.
It's not even about his arm slot or this. It's like, this is who you're getting, a face of the franchise guy.
And there's more. There's more in the podcast that he says about, you know, ripping into the team during halftime of the USC game and just stuff behind the scenes that you never hear. I'll go back to his first play as a quarterback at Stanford. His first game, he's a starter, he's a redshirt sophomore, and he runs down the sideline, and most quarterbacks would just dip out of bounds. Luck instead drives his throwing shoulder into the safety for 2 extra yards. And he comes off the field after they score a touchdown, and Shaw's livid, right? This is their starting quarterback. You don't do that. And Andrew's like, I know, but I had to get one hit in. And this is a recurring theme throughout his football career. Like, this kid just loved the contact. And I don't know if it was because he was the son of an NFL quarterback or just this inherent thing in his mind, but, like, he had to hit people. And so he played like that. He played like a linebacker. And this is something that hurt him later in his NFL career. But the snippets from Stanford that we heard about, like, they would pull him out for run plays as a quarterback because they didn't want him to get hurt. And Andrew was pissed, like livid on the sideline. He was like, "Coach, like, I want to do that. Like, I should be doing that. Look at me. Like, I'm built like a linebacker. Like, this is why I play football." And they had to protect him from himself. And that was hard to do. And the Colts learned the same lesson in the NFL, but it was just fun. Like, him in the Heisman race with RG3. RG3 goes for 400 yards one day. And a lot of people turn to Andrew Luck and say, "Okay, what are you going to do? You know, how are you going to match that?" And instead of going for a crazy number of yards, he handed the ball off 40 times that night because that was the right play against the two high safety defense at Washington. They won 65-21, and he runs off the field, and Shaw says, "I'm so sorry. Like, I feel like I costed you the Heisman." And Luck's like, "Coach, I don't care. We played our best game. Like, that was my best game. Like, I got us in the right play every time." Like, this dude was just different. He was just different in a lot of ways, and it was fun to explore that.
Where was Zach Kiefer here at The Athletic on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 talking about Andrew Luck? I don't want to place blame, but how much did Ryan Grigson and the way he went about it, how much did that lead to Andrew getting out of the game?
Yeah, there's no way around it. There's just no way around it. Now, this isn't on one person. Like, I really believe that. Like, now, the Colts didn't build an offensive line until 2018. Until Chris Ballard got here and changed things. Like, it was bad, man. Like, he was hit. God, he was pressured on over 1,000 dropbacks his first couple of years, his first, like, 4 years. Like, he was hit. He was sacked 40 more times than every quarterback. Like, these numbers are insane. And he's a big dude, but we would gasp in the press box. Like, it would just go silent because you just don't see quarterbacks take these kinds of hits. There was one game against the Broncos. The year the Broncos won the Super Bowl. So this defense is loaded, right? They got Tlaib, they got DeMarcus Ware, they got Von Miller at his peak. And the Colts beat them with Luck having a lacerated kidney the entire fourth quarter. His kidney is ripped open. This is an accident that usually happens after someone's in a car crash. Oh, this happened to him in a football game. But this is the other element to this. Andrew took a lot of these hits outside of the pocket. He refused to slide. The Colts had to bring in a baseball manager from the local AAA team to teach this dude how to slide. So let's not absolve Andrew Luck of blame. He played this courageous, brave, and often reckless style of football that cost him. And the fact that the Colts didn't have an offensive line is absolutely a part of this. Let's not get over that. Like, they just overlooked it, and they went for these shiny new toys in the draft, and it cost them. They needed to get this dude a running back, and they needed to get this dude some guards and some tackles and a center. And the shame of it is, man, like, the shame of it is, and you guys know this in Houston, like, 2018, Frank Reich's here. They've got a quick passing offense. They've got Nelson up front. Luck was only sacked 18 times. Like, it was the least in the league. Like, they finally had it all fixed. He had a great offense. He was getting the ball out quick. And we only got 1 year of it. Like, that's a shame of it because the Colts and the Texans played three times that year, the last of which came in the wild card round. And the Colts whooped them. And the Colts were coming. Like, I remember writing, the future of the AFC is Patrick Mahomes and Andrew Luck. And, boy, I don't look very smart right now.
No, but, you know, it's funny. I was at camp 17, 18, and 19 because I'm friends with Ballard. And, in 17, right. He told me, you know, it was a horrible roster, terrible. And
yeah.
I remember the conversation we had was, I'm like, well, what's going to happen with Andrew? He goes, he's not playing, Lance. I said, you're not going to play Andrew Luck? He goes, no, he's beat to hell, Lance. We're not going to play him. We got to get him right.
That's a pretty good Chris Bauer.
He goes, Lance, it's about more than 2017. This is a process. And so he didn't play him in 2017 because he said he had really been beaten to hell. And then Ballard said, okay, we got to build the fronts. And so Braden Smith, he had Ryan Kelly, he added Quentin Nelson. He went about building the offensive line. And, you know, 18 was the year you were talking about. I'm in camp in 19, Zach. I'm in the office with Ballard in that little Fun City complex or whatever where they play all the softball games and everything,
right.
The youth sports.
Grand Park.
And all of a sudden I hear,
Chris, can I talk to you for a second?
And I turn, and it's Andrew Luck with that Andrew Luck voice he's got. And it turns out he told me, he goes, hey, Lance, I used to listen to you and John with my dad when I would drive to. When he was in high school, he'd listen to our show that we were doing back then. I'm like, oh, cool. So I leave, and then on the way back, I'm staying with Ballard. I said, how'd that guy? He goes, oh, he's just dealing with some stuff. He's some mental stuff. He's going to be okay. He said he's going to be okay. 5 days later, he shuts it down and quit. And I asked Ballard, did he quit that day? He said, no, he did not. He said, but he was dealing with some issues. And what's really ironic here is that you didn't take care, the other regime with Gregson didn't take care of a top-line quarterback. And by the way, big guys sometimes are the ones who have to be protected against themselves. We always worry about smaller quarterbacks. Look at Cam Newton got all beat to hell. Ben Roethlisberger beat to hell. Andrew Luck beat to hell. They're the ones who a lot of times you have to protect against themselves. But what's interesting is this is literally with Frank Reich, Ballard, Jonathan Taylor, and that offensive line, everything about the identity of the Colts is all Luck, which tells you how much he must not want to come back to football. I would think he would have been goaded into coming back just because of his competitive spirit. Because this is everything he'd ever want.
Yep.
And he didn't.
I met with him 2 months ago, and he's like a ghost in Indianapolis. Like, it's hard to explain. Like, the specter of Andrew Luck is still very prevalent here. Like, he lives close to the team facility. Like, first of all, he lives in Indianapolis. Like, isn't that a little odd? And I met with him, and it was off the record, so I can't share any quotes, but he never gave me the impression that he'd ever considered coming back. Like, I just don't think – I think he made his decision, and that was it. Like, that was it. But I did mention at one point, like, have you watched Jonathan Taylor? Like they would be best friends. Like, Jonathan Taylor is this kind of, like, nerdy dude who, like, loves astronomy and, like, oh, by the way, is a freak on the field. Like, so much of this is set up for, like, sustained success here. And Mike Sando, my colleague at The Athletic, was like, you know, do the Chiefs have their ring if Andrew Luck keeps playing? Like, how does that shape the AFC? But that's a what if we'll play forever. But the roster is really well built if you have that quarterback in place. And they thought they did, but when he retires 15 days before the season opener, there's no plan. Like, they just had to scramble, and they've been scrambling in a way for 3 years.
Protect your quarterback.
Were you not – the first time I saw Andrew, I don't know how many months ago, he was on television, I was shocked. He's a shell – speaking of a shell, he's a shell of what he was, isn't he, how skinny he is?
Yeah, it's not as bad as it looked that night. Now, I definitely had the same reaction, but when I saw him, I was like, oh, you look – you know, not quite your playing weight, but closer. And then he was in Indy this week helping Robert Mathis with a football camp, and he looked – I mean, I don't want to say, like, his playing weight, but, like, pretty damn close. Like, Andrew's a guy that, like, and Jacoby Brissett says this in the podcast, like, he'd probably roll out of bed tomorrow and play quarterback in the NFL. I just feel like athletically he's just one of those gifted dudes. Now, he's not going to, but he's not as skinny as everyone thinks he is.
He's not. Okay. So he looked like he had lost a lot. Because I stood next to him a few times, and he's a big dude.
He's a linebacker.
He's a strong dude. That's in college, you talk about it. I remember him coming down the field and, you know, breaking out of the pocket and coming down the field, and he would just take people on instead of, like you said, and it's just like, what a bull. This is your quarterback. And just a shame that it had to end that way. But yeah, is he happy? Did you think he's happy, Zach?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question, and I do. Like, I really do. I think, and David Shaw brings this up in the podcast, like, the idea of Andrew Luck coming back is more about us than it is him. Like, what he could be. Like, we all feel a little unfinished. And I'm throwing us in the media in that market. Like, if you take the reporter hat off, he was fun as hell to watch. Like, he was different. And the sense I got when I talked with him was peace, happiness, and, like, he's excited about what's coming next. You know, he's got a little girl at home, a two-year-old, and they're going to have another, and he's really poured himself into that. And he's got a lot of options. A lot of people are coming to him and pitching him ideas, and I saw a spark in his eye about what's coming next in his life. Remember, I mean, salutatorian at high school. He was an architecture major at Stanford. Like, this dude is stupid smart, like insanely smart. So he seems like at peace with the way football ended. As hard as it was, and it was hard. I think it was hard for him that first year to think about the rest of his life. He's only 30 years old, and one career is over. But I think he's happy. I do think he is, and I think we're going to see a little bit more of him in the next couple of years.
Zach Kiefer, the podcast, you can find it at The Athletic, and a nice little intro that he wrote as well. So if you're looking for Andrew Luck, you can find him at Zach Kiefer's podcast.
Really nice job of lining up guests who are, you know, insightful, add insightful color, like Jacoby Brissett, who's in the quarterback room with them. So really good stuff there. Zach, he writes for The Athletic. He covers the Colts for The Athletic. By the way, before we let you go, feeling around, Kari Willis, starting safety, just retired yesterday. He's going to follow the word of the Lord, John. He is off, right, Zach? Am I wrong? I think he's going off into preach the gospel and do stuff like that. He's done with football after 3 years.
Yeah, it's happened, I want to say late June. But yeah, it was a surprise for sure. Good dude, like really good dude. And I mean, he started, 30, 40 games for the Colts the last couple of years. It's a loss, but it's almost like Ballard knew because he's been loading up at safety. He drafted one out of Maryland. He signed a couple of vets. So it's not a terrible position to be in for a late summer retirement. The Colts have some reinforcements at safety. Julian Black is coming back, but he started a lot of games and he was a good player. So yeah, he's gonna devote himself to ministry. He feels like it's his life's work. So good for Kari. It's good for him, and it's just surprising. And we'll see what the Colts do.
Yep, hard to criticize him for the route he's taken. So that's really, really, really neat. Really neat. It's guys giving up football for something that they believe in more. That's he and Andrew Luck. That is Zach Kiefer from The Athletic right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Zach, thanks for your time. We appreciate it. Congratulations on the success of the podcast.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right. There's Zach Kiefer right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.